I would like to speak a few minutes, moments this evening on how the Holy Spirit indwells Christians. This is a subject that many Christians do not have clear and positive convictions about. This is due to the fact that we fail to preach and teach and write on this subject as often as we should. However, this was not always the case. Earlier, when denominationalism was more aggressive and militant, and when discussions, both public and private, were much more prominent, what church members were much more thoroughly conversant with the subject of how the Holy Spirit indwells. One of the major differences between New Testament Christianity and the doctrine of denominationalism was, how does the Holy Spirit indwell us? In other words, does he indwell us separate and apart from the Word of God, literally and personally, or does he indwell us and influence us by means of the Word of God? Well, it's sad to say that this is no longer the case. There are many among us today that are actually advocating exactly the same view regarding how the Holy Spirit indwells us as denominational people have advocated for years. Some of our preachers in this very audience, in fact, are advocating the literal, personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word of God. He influences us, they tell us, in some mysterious manner, through inner beings and hosts and so forth. It is a dangerous doctrine. Some of our preachers, I'm not talking about something way off somewhere, some of our very preachers have gone over into Pentecostalism who believe this erroneous denominational doctrine. Billy Jack Isaac, Tom Lehman, Leon Sanger, these men have believed this theory and gone into Pentecostalism. It's not very far over into Pentecostalism from this doctrine. A preacher said at the study, and he may be in the audience this evening, he's been in front of preachers, so he's not ashamed to say it. He said at the study that the reason he knows more about the Bible than someone else who's just as smart as him or studied just as much as him is the Holy Spirit helps him more than he has that other person just as smart and studied just as much. He's made the Holy Spirit a respecter of persons. God isn't, Christ isn't, but the Holy Spirit is. Well, at the outset, I would like to say that the Holy Spirit does indwell us as Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Romans 8, verse 9. He does indwell us. But the question is, how does he indwell us? Does he indwell us separate and apart from the Word of God in some mysterious fashion, or does he indwell us by means of the Word of God? Now, that's the question. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells us this evening in exactly the same manner as God and Christ indwell us. The Bible points out that God indwells Christians. In Ephesians 4, verse 6, Christians indwell God. 1 John 4, verse 15, we find that Christ indwells Christians. According to Ephesians 3, 17, Christians indwell Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit, we've already given some passages. He indwells Christians. Christians indwell the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 25. Now, I don't know of anyone who believes that God literally and personally indwells us as Christians. And yet he indwells us, the Bible points out. I don't know of anyone that believes that Jesus Christ is advocated. He's no longer on David's throne, but now he's literally in the body of all of his followers. I don't know of anyone that believes those things. But all of a sudden they come to the Holy Spirit, and they say that means literal and personal when it refers to his dwelling. It's an inference, and it is an erroneous inference. You know, there's plenty of scriptures that assert the Holy Spirit indwells us, but not one of them asserts he indwells us literally and personally. Not one of them. It is inferred that he indwells us literally and personally. I'm going to write this little word on the board because it really bothers our personal indwelling of preachers in the audience. They know. know that every scripture is only an inference. It is only inferred that he indwells us literally and personally. There's not one verse that points out that he indwells us in that manner. Now, since it's a fact that the Holy Spirit indwells us literally and he indwells us, and it's only inferred that he indwells us literally and personally, how does deity indwell us? That's what we want to ask. How does Christ indwell Christians? He indwells us in Ephesians 3:17, by faith, or more literally, by the faith, that is the gospel. How does the Holy Spirit indwell us? Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Now that is a command, not a promise. How do we obey this command? How do we obey the command to be filled with the Spirit? Every denominational commentary and Church of Christ commentary alike agrees that the parallel comment on this and passage on this explains how. Colossians 3:16, by letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, that's how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why do they want to infer that he indwells us literally and personally when the Bible explains how he indwells us? Yes, he indwells us, but he does not indwell us literally and personally as they infer. Remember, it's an inference. He indwells us, and the Bible tells us how, by the Word of God. Did you know our personal indwelling preachers amongst us today are just like our denominational friends that believe in faith only? Our faith only friends will tell us, they'll pull some 25 or 30 verses that point out we're saved by faith, and then they want to infer that that means faith only. Our personal indwelling preachers will give all these verses that point out the Holy Spirit indwells us, and then they want to infer that that means literally and personally. Secondly, I would like to say that every influence the Bible asserts to be exercised on us by the Spirit is elsewhere to be said to be accomplished by the Word of God. In every instance where the Spirit is said to do something to the Christian, the Word of God is elsewhere said to accomplish that very same task. Now, is that to say that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the same? No. But the means by which the Holy Spirit uses to accomplish His mission is the Word of God. This Word is the instrument or the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17. Hebrews 4:12. The restoration preachers used to give an excellent illustration to illustrate this point. They said, let's take, for example, a woodsman. He takes a saw and he saws down a tree with that saw. Now the energy is inherent in the woodsman and it's transferred through the saw to accomplish the mission. Well, in the same way, the Holy Spirit, both in conversion and sanctification, uses his instrument, the sword of the Spirit, to accomplish his mission. And in no other way does he influence us. Every influence, every spiritual need, every fruit supplied to us from the moment we first hear the gospel until we die comes through faithful obedience to the Word of God. Not in any mysterious fashion, separate and apart from the Word of God. Now the Holy Spirit is said to do many things, and I would love to mention them and point out how the Word of God does the very same thing, but we don't have time. The Holy Spirit strengthens us, for example, Ephesians 3:16. But he does that by providing the whole armor of God, which includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. The Holy Spirit saves us by supplying the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls, James 1:21. And on we could go. All that we know about how to live the Christian life is found right here in the Word of God. By this instruction and in no other way do we learn to live the Christian life. And by this way and no other way does the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and influence us. You cannot think of one thing a Christian need that the Word of God does not supply. It follows that when we yield our life to the Word of God, we are yielding our life to the Holy Spirit who gave us the Word of God. Since the Holy Spirit's message to man is the Word of God. When we obey the Word, we're obeying the Spirit. When we reject the Word, we are rejecting the Spirit who gave us the Word. For example, let's say that when I lived at home and my father went away on a meeting, he wrote back a letter to me that contained certain instructions that he wanted me to carry out. Now, when I obey that letter of instructions, I'm obeying my father who gave me that letter. When I reject that letter, I'm rejecting my father who gave me those instructions. Well, so it is with the Holy Spirit. The New Testament is the letter of instructions that the Holy Spirit's given us. And when we obey this word right here, we are following the Holy Spirit. When we reject this word right here, we are rejecting the Holy Spirit who gave us this word. And in no other way does the Holy Spirit lead us. I'd like to notice some arguments briefly that have often brought up against the representative indwelling, in other words, through the word. Often people will cloud the issue by misrepresenting or misunderstanding us by saying, you don't believe in an indwelling. You don't believe the Holy Spirit indwells us. Inferring that the word indwell in reference to the Holy Spirit, not in any reference to anything else, means literal and personal. I do believe the Holy Spirit's in us. The Bible teaches that. But how is he in it? That's the question. Others say, you think the Spirit and the Word are the same. No, I don't. But the Word of God is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to accomplish his mission. No more than the woodsman and the saw are the same. Or the Holy Spirit and the Word of God the same. You know, these are just smoke screens. And smoke screens are used by debaters who have weak positions. Another argument that appears strong on the surface is that one can be filled with word memorization and still not have the Word of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. In every instance, though, in the Bible, where hearing is pleasing to God, it's always obedient hearing. This is based on the same false argument of the faith-only brethren. They don't agree. They say they don't realize that it's obedient faith that blesses. Jesus points out that to hear and not obey is as if you did not hear in Matthew 13. Would anyone suggest that Khrushchev, Soviet Union's Khrushchev, has the Word of God dwelling in him in the sense of Colossians 3:16? And yet it's said that he has memorized many passages of Scripture. No, it's only obedient hearing. And in that sense is the only sense that the Word indwells him. Briefly, I want to mention one other thing. The Spirit, many people say, is said to intercede for us in Romans 8:26. And so if the Holy Spirit operates only through the Word, they ask, how does the Word intercede for us? Well, first of all, the Spirit in that passage, some believe it's the Holy Spirit, some our Spirit, and others Christ. But let's give them that it is the Holy Spirit. Take that for granted. You'll notice that that is something the Spirit does for us, not to us. And secondly, you'll notice that that influence is exercised on the Father, verse 27, not on us. Before I close, I want to notice some dangers of the literal, personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word of God. First of all, they misapply and misuse so many passages of Scripture. They try to prove a point by sheer multiplication of Scripture, just like the faith-only people. They are denying, I affirm they deny the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is all-sufficient. They say we need something extra. That either it's all-sufficient or it's not. If it's all-sufficient, we don't need anything extra. The Holy Spirit, they make the Holy Spirit some glorified jumping jack. The Holy Spirit will not indwell a sinner. And yet, if a Christian practices sin, they say, then has had that Holy Spirit literally leaving this person's body. And then if he returns to the church, he indwells him literally again, they say. And on this goes. Satan doesn't perpetrate false doctrines without a very good reason. And that is always to destroy God's people. And I believe this denominational doctrine that has infiltrated us for the very same reason. Many are swept away by Pentecostalism. I bet you that you cannot find anyone who believes the scriptural position of the Holy Spirit influencing us through the Word being led away into Pentecostalism. Now that's not reason enough to believe what I'm teaching, but it is reason enough to closely examine what I've said. In conclusion, the Holy Spirit does indwell us, but He indwells us in the same manner that God and Christ indwell us. No one believes they indwell us literally or personally, separate and apart from their Word. It's only inferred. Remember that. Anytime you hear one of these brethren getting up and teaching this false denominational doctrine, you just listen for one verse that points out how He indwells us literally and personally. They're only inferring. Third, every time, every influence the Bible asserts to be exercised on us by the Spirit is elsewhere said to be done by the Word of God, accomplished by the Word of God. Yes, it's a dangerous doctrine because they misuse and misapply Scripture. They deny the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. They make the Holy Spirit some glorified jumping jack. It's dangerous when you get people thinking that the reason I know more about the Bible than someone else who studies just as much and just as far as me is because the Holy Spirit helped me more than He has that other person. Well, listen, some of you brethren have came from other false, erroneous doctrines. Cuts, Sunday school, no exception, even denominationalism. Why not change from this erroneous denominational doctrine to you may not be swept away into Pentecostalism by it, but you're teaching this denominational doctrine may lead someone else into Pentecostalism. Let's put an end to this destructive, damning, and dangerous, deceitful denominational doctrine that teaches that we're led and we're influenced separate and apart from the Word of God in some mysterious fashion. And let's get back to the scriptural position that teaches the Holy Spirit influences us, leads us, comforts us by means of the Word of God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.